Thank you, Pastor Randall, for your prayer, and thank you for the team to come and pray and support us as a family. We are very grateful. One of my greatest privilege and joy in my life is to serve in this house. There is no greater privilege and joy than to be a servant of God and to love the people of God. I want to share a couple of good news with you. First and foremost, I want to thank you all for praying. You know, yesterday and in fact, last couple of weeks, I've been sending out prayer requests for the church to pray for our outreach event yesterday. I can't believe that we are actually in, are we in spring right now? We're in spring. Yesterday felt like winter, ain't it? It was hailing. You know, for those that are visiting, Victor's parents, this is Melbourne's weather. Four seasons in one day. It could be hailing yesterday, but bright sunshine today. But anyway, I was sending out this prayer request asking you to pray because we have an outreach event in our church in the morning. So I sent out prayer and we are thinking, you know, it's going to rain, it's going to hail. Guess what? Our meeting starts at 10:30. It was raining cats and dogs, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I got a bit worried, you know. Because one of the person that's supposed to come, he actually ride those e-scooter to come, you know, old man, you know, so I was thinking, he's hailing, you know, how's he going to come? Around 10 o'clock, the rain just stopped. The rain just stopped. I think it stopped for around an hour. And then when the people came, when our meeting started, our worship, then it started pouring again. So I'm like, man, prayer works. Amen? And Our sister Serene, can you please stand? Yes, please stand. Let's give her a round of applause to encourage her. Thank you, Sister Serene. Yesterday, she shared her testimony. She shared her testimony about battling breast cancer. And from her testimony and from the preaching of the good news of Jesus, we have around 30 over people responded to the gospel call. Give glory to Jesus. Amen. That was only in the morning. In the evening, I was then asked to evangelize in a church in Roville, ACF. I went there, I was called to preach. Same, it's an outreach event. So yesterday, whole day was an outreach event for me. I went there and guess who I saw? I couldn't believe my eyes. I went there, I was about to preach and the pastors were welcoming people. Then I saw this couple walked in. This couple is actually someone that we've been reaching out to for years, Sinkyu and myself. He was the ex-boss of Sinkyu. When she was studying many years ago as a university student, I won't tell you how long. She was working as a waitress in this restaurant and the couple was her boss. And ever since then, we just kept in contact. For years, we kept in contact. Every Christmas, we go visit them, you know, bring them gifts, share the good news of Jesus. And yesterday, they came to that meeting because they were invited by some friends. Cut a long story short, preach the good news of Jesus, lift the name of Jesus, proclaim the goodness of God. And when we give the gospel call, the couple came forward. Glory to Jesus! Turn to someone and say, God is good. God is good. Rejoice. God is good. So today, I'm going to talk to you about shining as light. Everyone say light. Shining as light. Next week, Pastor Brandon is also still talking about light, which means to say it's going to be very important studies we're going to talk about. For the last couple of weeks, we've been sharing from the book of Philippians. In fact, we're going to spend around 3 months in the book of Philippians. We're going to go through verse by verse and unpack the Word of God because we believe the Word of God has the power to change our life from the inside out. Now, we're going to read the Word of God together. So I'm going to ask you to stand up again. We're going to read these 7 verses together. And I'm going to unpack these verses one by one. So with a loud and thunderous voice, let's proclaim and declare the Word of God as His children. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for your precious word that will bring nourishment to our soul, Lord. Father, as we come before you, we recognize that some may be on mountaintops, but some could be on valley lows. But we know that no matter where we are, you are with us. So we pray, O Lord God, through the proclamation of your word, through the expounding of your word today, we may encounter the author of this word, who is Christ himself. Lord, our heart's desire is that we may meet you. And this is your grace for us, O God, that through your word, we may know you, we may experience you, and that we may be transformed by you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We invite your presence here. In Christ's name we pray, and the people of God say, amen, amen and amen. Please be seated in the presence of God. So today we're going to talk about light. I remember years ago, how many of you have been to 1,000 Steps in Mount Dandenong? 1,000 Steps. Yeah? Keep your hands high. And completed the whole 1,000 Steps? Well done. Those of you that have not done so, I want to encourage you to do it. But please make sure you have some sort of physical fitness, yeah? I've been there quite often. I've seen people literally halfway stopped. I've also seen paramedics there. But anyway, long story short, there's once I went there with a friend of mine. He's a very adventurous kind of guy. He served in Singapore Army as a commando. He was an outdoor education teacher. So he does all sorts of extreme sports. So he rang me up, say, hey, Kenny, you want to do something adventurous today? I say, yeah, sure. Let's go 1,000 steps in my house. Thinking, oh, come on, man. That's not adventurous, you know? Done that. And then you know what he said, Joe? Let's do it in the night. I'm like, is that even legal? You know? Anyway, we rocked up there. I had a feeling, I'm not quite sure whether I should be sharing this. I'm not quite sure whether it's exactly legal. Anyway, we went there. It was pitch dark. It was dark at night. And then he was saying, Kenny, I tell you what, you just follow me, all right? I know this terrain well. I know this landscape well. I mean, I climbed that mountain quite a few times, yeah? But I thought, all right, I'll give it a go. It was dark. So anyway, we're just climbing. It was pitch dark. And we have a torch, you know? So we were climbed. And then on our way back, we hear this cracking sound. Literally, I thought, what was that? And right in front of us, I kid you not, right? A tree fell over, like a large trunk of tree, right in front of our eyes. I was like, thank you, Jesus. 5 more seconds, I won't be preaching this sermon. We looked at each other, we're like, whoa, that's crazy. But then because it was pitch dark and our torch was rather dim, We kind of need to struggle to find our way. And it dawned upon me the importance of light. You see, without lights, we kind of lose our direction. Without lights, we are not able to see. Now, the very nature of light is that it will dispel darkness, right? In fact, a light does not need to struggle to shine. You know, if I were to turn on the torchlight, you know, it does not have to like struggle to shine. Darkness would have to dispel immediately the moment light comes. Can I get an amen for that? So today I want to talk to you about shining as lights in the world. The Apostle Paul, right at this point in Philippians 2, 12 to 18, he has wrote this letter. He handed this letter to this guy by the name of Epaphroditus, who is a messenger sent by the church in Philippi. They heard about his situation. So right now, Paul was in jail. He was in Rome. He was guarded by the Praetorian guards, the imperial guards, the most elite guards in the Roman Empire. He was struggling. He was suffering. Yet even in jail, though he was struggling and suffering, he penned this letter. And 16 times over, he asked the church to rejoice, to be joyful, 16 times over. How could someone that is struggling and suffering still ask people to rejoice? So he asked them to rejoice. And last week, we learned from Philippians 2, 1 to 11, which is a central passage of who Christ is and what he meant to that church. And from there, he then continued to encourage them to live as mature Christians, to live as mature sons and daughters of God. And then he started off by giving them two compelling reasons to shine as light in the world as Christ believed. So today, it's your lucky day. We're going to go verse by verse. We're going to unpack it. You're going to love it. Amen. I prepared this sumptuous spiritual meal for you today. We're going to feed upon the Word of God. We're going to grow strong. So give you two compelling reasons. So firstly, he says, therefore. Everyone say, therefore. Now the word therefore meaning to say previously. Preceding these words, what was Paul telling them? Paul was telling them that Christ was exalted. Why Christ was exalted? That his name is above every name, that every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow and proclaim that Jesus Christ is. So the reason why the name of Christ is lifted up high is because Christ humbled himself. He was obedient to God, even to the point of death and death on a cross. And because of all this, Paul was saying, and because of what Christ has done for you, he then say, my beloved. Everyone say, beloved. I love this. Beloved. All of you here, do you know? Everyone, you are a beloved of Christ. Beloved means you are cherished, loved, celebrated. When God looks at us, he smiles. Why? Because when he sees you in Christ. Christ has paid the price. Christ has humbled himself. And those who are in Christ, and when God looks at you, God looks at Christ. And because of the perfect obedience life of Christ, when the Lord looks at his church, he will start smiling. Why? Because we are in Christ. Now, knowing all this, he then say, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The first reason he gave is what Christ has done. And the second reason he gave is starting in verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We're focusing on this verse that God is working in you. Meaning to say that God is the primary agent. That God is the one who is at work in us, enabling both our desire and our action to align with his good purpose. Meaning to say, because God is working in us and has worked in us, therefore man and woman must and can work. The two compelling reasons that Paul gave to the church in Philippi is this. The reason why you need to shine as lights in the world is number one, what Christ has done. and that you're the beloved of Christ. And number two, because God is working among you. And then in the middle, you then say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, whenever we come to this verse, working out your salvation with fear and trembling, remember, it's not work for your own salvation. Are we working for our salvation? Yes or no? Can I have a resounding no? Are we working for our salvation? Who has worked for our salvation? Christ. Christ has worked for your salvation. Christ has done it all, completed on the cross. But because of Christ has done it all, because Christ is living in us, therefore, as a result, as a consequence of us living in Christ, he then say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does it mean to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? A lot of times we look at it from a personal point of view. Now, if you study the Greek in this, it's actually a plural terms. So I've read a couple of commentaries that, and they all concur to say that what Paul is saying, he's saying and he's telling the church in Philippi to work at the spiritual well-being of the church. Why? Because your spiritual enemy is always on the prowl to attack. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a spiritual reality. The enemy is always attacking. The enemy always seeks to devour the people of God. The enemy will always seek to intimidate the people of God. The enemy will always cause fear in the people of God. But the word of God says, do not be afraid. Do not be fearful, for the Lord your God is with you. And the reason why we have to work at the spiritual well-being of the church is because the enemy is attacking. But do not be afraid. We got to work. Everyone say work. How many of you have got gym membership here? Yeah, quite a few. How many of you actually go to the gym, for those who have gym membership? Wow, equal amount of people. Uncle, you also have gym membership? Uncle Bernard, yeah? May I ask, how old are you, Uncle Bernard? 24. That is the power of gym. Which gym do you go to? How old are you, Uncle Bernard, if you don't mind me asking? 84. How many of you are older than 84? No one. You should start exercising. We go to the gym to do what? To work out. No. Some people go to the gym to talk. Exercise of the mouth, but don't talk. You need to work out, yeah? Then why do we work out? Why do we work out? To develop strength. To develop resilience. The word here is work. Everyone say work. Now, I want to go back to that verse and see how many times the word work appears. All right? Verse 12. Work out your own salvation. So there's one. Verse 13. For it is God who? All right. Work with me, yeah? For it is God who? Both to will and to? Work. Every single Christian has to do a workout. And the reason why we do that is because God is already at work in us. Meaning to say, all right, listen to me. Meaning to say, if you are a truly born-again Christian, if Christ is living in you, Christ is surely working in you. Amen? If Christ is living in you, Christ is working in you. In you. And if Christ is living in you and working in you, surely you will work out. Surely you will
work at the spiritual well-being of the church. Absolutely. How many of you know that work is fun? Some disagree. Work is no fun, you know. It's hard work. I know I shared this quite a few times. I used to run marathon. I don't anymore. Every time before a run, before I do a workout, I would dread. Especially when I look at my run schedule. Sometimes on the weekend, we do what we normally call the long run. And the long run could be like 15, 20 kilometers. And then when I look at it, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to run at 20 kilometers, man. You know? But when I start running, it gets better. Same thing. As you start working at the spiritual being of the church, meaning to say looking after one another, caring for one another, praying for one another, as you keep going, the fire kept going. And surely, after every time, you can ask those people that go to the gym, yeah, so it's not just me. After your workout, you come home, you always feel better. By the way, Carrie's bench more weight than me. She's a very strong girl. But after every single workout, you always feel better. Is that right? Is that right, Claire? Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's the thing. A lot of times we have been deceived. We've been deceived to think that now that I'm a Christian, now that I'm born again, I'm just going to sit and relax and laze around and not do anything. May the word of God today convict you. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. So two compelling reasons, yeah? Now then, we then talk about how to shine as lights in the world as Christ's beloved. I love it, Christ's beloved. Turn to one next to you and say, Jesus loves you. You are Christ's beloved. Christ's beloved. And this is what Christ's beloved should look like. Some of you are about to get married, you know. I'm just looking at this direction, I don't know why. Christ's beloved. He then say, verse 14, shall we read together? 1, 2, 3. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Why? So that you may be blameless and innocent children of God. Again, children of God, beloved children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. How then do we shine as lights in the world? The first instruction that Paul gave. The first instruction that Paul gave in order for us to shine as lights in the world is this. Do not grumble. What is grumble? I did a bit of work, grumbling. There's a bit of growling there, isn't it, Joe? Murmuring. Secret complaining. You know? Behind the scenes talk. I'm just giving a feedback, but you know, that pastor's sermon is so long, so boring. But don't tell him. He's going to get offended. This is an Australian term, by the way. Whinging and whining. This is a national sport in Australia. Whinging and whining. That's what we Aussies do all the time. We whinge and whine about our garment. Every meal that you go to, every dinner, we start talking about, you know, this garment. Yeah, wah, wah, yeah, yeah. Fault finding. Who's guilty? I'm guilty. Yeah, I'm guilty as charged. Grumbling, yeah? You know what happens to the grumbler? This same word actually appeared in Numbers chapter 14, you know? And this is when Moses led the people of God out. He led the people of God out from Pharaoh. Then all the people of Israel. I mean, poor Moses, man. Not just one, not just two. He says all the people of Israel grumble against him and Moses. The whole congregation said to them, I was reading this verse, I was thinking, if I'm Moses and Aaron is Pastor Randall, it will read something like this. All the people of KC Life International Church grumble against Pastor Kenny and Pastor Randall. The whole congregation said to them, Would that we had died in the land of Egypt. We shouldn't have moved to this university. We should have stayed in the clique building. Why did you bring us here, Pastor Randall? The food over there is better. The sound is better. Why do you... I'll just imagine if our people in total, I mean, by the grace of God, we grew from around 70, currently we're around 250, 300. I mean, but imagine, I'm not sure how many people Israel then? I didn't do my research, but I would say there's a lot more than that. Imagine every one of them complain. Wow. That's a tough gig. That is a tough gig. How about disputing? Let's say do nothing out of grumbling or disputing. Disputing is those that are involved in divisive and contentious argument. I call it critical thinking gone wrong. By the way, I celebrate critical thinking. The Bible college that I go to always say, Kenny, we train you to be critical, biblical thinker. What is critical thinking gone wrong? Overanalyzing. Argue over the most petty things. Second-guessing one another. Argumentative. You know, some people disagree with you for the sake of disagreeing. I'm very afraid of people like that. You know, I still love you as best as I could. Lord, sanctify my heart. You know, those that are in the complaint and disputing, normally what they do is they will normally form a club. Believe it or not, they will start gathering people that will think like them. You know, they'll start the complaint group, you know, little complaint group here. You know, we have a complaint group, the grumbling group, and then with the disputing group. And worse still, they combine forces together. We call the grumbling and the disputing club. Don't do that. Why? There is nothing more toxic in a church or in a family. Can you imagine a father or a mother cook a nice meal, spend hours, you know, trying a new recipe, you know? Maybe it didn't turn out as good. So you sat on the table, the kids sat on the table, you start eating. And then you start grumbling. What do you think your mom or your dad would do? It'd be so discouraging, right? Same thing. In a church, you don't do that. We don't do that. Why? We're not going to grumble. We're not going to dispute. You know, a lot of times, this is the thing. None of us are perfect. It is very easy to find fault in one another. But here's my challenge to you. Rather than finding fault in each other, find Christ in one another. See Christ in one another. I want to see Christ in Dalston. I want to see Christ. Someone's excited. All the young adults are very excited. I want to see Christ in Joshua. Leslie, I want to see Christ in you. We want to see the best in one another, amen? Because that's how we build one another up. By complaining and grumbling and disputing, we just end up tearing one another down. We don't do that. And that is not how we shine as light. Question, what is worse than do all things without grumbling and disputing? A bit of thinking required. Critical thinking. I'll give you a bit of clue. Do something without grumbling and disputing. Paul said, do all things. That means everything that we do, we should not grumble. So what is worse than that is do something without grumbling and disputing, which is not bad, you know. But what is even worse than that? Joe is very smart, you know. Do nothing but grumbling and disputing. Oh, my Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that no one in this house is like this. Amen. You know? Do nothing but grumbling and disputing. Took me a while to find that photo, actually. And we keep going, yeah? Why? So that you may be blameless and innocent. The word blameless here, in the original Greek, it means unmixed. It means unmixed. Meaning to say, like oil and water. Although we are in the world, we are not of the world. God is not asking us to live like a hermit, right? To hide and not to see the world. No, God say, go to the world. This is the light you should never hide under the table. You should always bring the light out to the world and that you just naturally shine. Those who are shining for Jesus, you don't have to go out and say, I'm going to shine for Jesus. You know, as if it's a struggle. No, when you're in love with Jesus, when you're in Christ, no matter where you go, you just naturally shine. You just illuminate. And the people around you can feel it. They can sense it. They can say, you know what? What do you have that I don't? And I want to have that. Without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Okay, I want to give a very short testimony. I'll talk about our sister Serene yesterday. You know, all this is within the context we give all glory to Jesus. Yeah? All this we give in the context of we give all glory to Jesus. Now, in her sharing yesterday, she was sharing how she was battling breast cancer. She was also describing vividly the suffering and that she was going through. And there's one part she was even talking about hair loss, you know, and how she was losing her hair and that fear gripped her heart. But because she was holding on to the Word of God, she was able to journey through it. And then she showed us a photo. I didn't have that photo up there because I didn't have your permission. She showed us a photo of her losing all her hair. Bald, you know. Then she made a statement. Beautiful statement. You know what she said? Don't I look beautiful? Shining for Jesus. Even in your suffering, in your trials, we shine the brightest when we suffer for Christ. We shine the brightest that even through suffering and through trials, we still give glory to Jesus. When you look at the life of Apostle Paul, in prison, none of his fault. Yet he asked the church to rejoice. That, my dear friends, is shining for Jesus. How beautiful is that? Do you want that? All of us, we ought to shine for Jesus. And as we keep going, a point that I want to make is that our relationships within the church has profound impact in how we represent Jesus to the community in the city of KC and beyond. It's not how good we individually can thrive in our spiritual giftedness and how awesome we are or how much money we made. No. The measurement of spiritual maturity is not how much material wealth we have. What did Jesus say after he washed the feet of his disciple? He said, love one another as I have, so that what? The world may know that you are my disciples. How we relate to one another, how we love one another, how we care for one another is a direct correlation as how we represent Christ in the community. It's not how powerful, how rich, how... No. That's why the way of Christ is total opposite from the world. Which we have learned last week, isn't it? Christ in his humility and humbleness. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. It then says, holding fast to the word of life. Everyone say holding fast. Holding fast means holding firm. I was preparing this. And, you know, I was also kind of preparing to my trip in Korea, South Korea. I've not even packed yet. It was a really busy week. When I was reading this holding fast, this holding firm. I was, Zach, for the last week, has been asking me, Dad, can you bring me? Zach is my youngest son, 10-year-old, yeah? Can you bring me? I'm like, no, you know. He was holding on to me. Tim, when he was very young, Tim is my eldest. He's doing his year 12 now. You know, I love talking about my family. Please indulge me. Yeah. When he was young, he has what we call separation anxiety. When he was young, I served as a mission pastor. I go on trips even more often, sometimes 6 weeks. Yeah. And that's once I remember I was about to leave. My son literally grabbed my leg. You know? So as I walk, I have to kind of drag him. He was holding on to me. When he's holding on to me, you know what is the message he's sending to me and to the people around? I'm going to miss my dad. I'm going to hold on to him. Without knowing that he's actually telling the world that. Because he's just responding to the needs in his heart. I said, I just need you. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is how we should ought to do with the word of Christ, with the word of God, with the gospel, is to hold dearly in such a way that even without you knowing, the world knows your conviction. It means that when you grip your faith like a torch, you grip it, it will light the world around you. When you're holding on to your conviction, you don't have to convince the world. When you truly love someone, you don't have to convince the world. The world will know because your action will speak. Amen. Just a drop of hint for those that are about to be newly married. I don't know why I'm pointing to this direction. Love is an action word. Talk is cheap. It's very cheap. But it's by action. Hallelujah. And I pray that as a church, our conviction, our love, that our grip for the word of God is so strong. Especially those, my brothers and sisters, you're going through tough time. Grab hold of our Lord Jesus. The Bible promises that He will never leave us, that He will never forsake us, that He is with us. No matter what you are going through, grab on firmly. Do not let go. Do not let go. And then in verse 17, Paul then makes this statement. That even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Let's try to figure out what is drink offering first. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he says the same thing. By the time when he wrote 2 Timothy, that is pretty much one of his very last letters. Paul is in jail, in Roman jail. We know that during the time he wrote the letter between AD 60 to 62. We know that the emperor at that time is Emperor Nero, N-E-R-O. It's a very brutal emperor. So he knew that his time is about to come to an end. And when he used the word drink offering, it was actually first mentioned in the Bible where Jacob pours oil on a stone at battle as a sign of his commitment to God. So he poured the oil. And Paul is using this exact image to describe how he's about to lose his life. Now, Paul, he's not going to be crucified on the cross because he's a Roman citizen, we know that, in Acts 16. And we also understand that most likely in the early church account, though not recorded in the Bible, he's actually decapitated. So this is, I know it's a bit gory, yeah?
So this is the image that he has. He imagined himself that the likelihood of him being decapitated, blood spilled out, as a drink offering. In short, this is what he's actually telling the church in Philippi. Hear me, it's very important. He said, if my loss is your gain spiritually, I will rejoice. And so should you. What a mind-blowing statement that is. I'm going to say it one more time. He's saying that if my loss, if my jailing innocently, if my decapitation results in you growing spiritually, I'm going to rejoice. That, my dear friends, is the result of the working of the Holy Spirit in his life. And that, my friend, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. No wonder he can say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. What I share to you is the unadulterated word of God today. What I share to you is a whole counsel of God today, straight from the word. A man who is so in love with Jesus, but more so a man who is so in Christ that God is working in him, and that through Christ, he could say these statements. I wonder how many of us can say that even if I, that through my suffering, that you may grow, I'm going to rejoice. That is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is not the work of flesh. That is not the work of man. And that can only be the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I pray that each of us can grow in spiritual maturity. That we will grow. No longer we are like spiritual babies. But instead, we are saying, I'm willing to sacrifice in order that other may grow. As parents, we know this instinctively. Amen? Parents sacrifice without even asking. You don't have to ask a parent to sacrifice. Daniel, is that right? Yeah? You just have a newborn. That's not the newborn. I wasn't referring to that. How many sleepless nights have you had, Daniel? None. You have a good baby. Take that metaphor and apply it to the house of God. And that is what Paul is saying. And he has shown it. So in closing, yeah, I've got a quick 4 applications, yeah? The worship team can come. The first application is this. How do we shine as lights in the world? Shall we read it together? Yeah, at a count of 3, 1, 2, 3. Work at the spiritual well-being of the church. You got to work. You got to work. And number 2. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Thirdly, hold firmly to God's word. Gotta hold firmly to God's word. And last but not least, pour out your life to others. You know, the last point, that's a tough one, I must admit. Because we live a very busy life. I know that. You know, the cost of living is getting higher in Australia, and many family couples, you know, both work full time, and you have children, you have no time. I understand that. I get you, really.
I live in the same reality. But here's my encouragement to you. Pour out your life, meaning to say, invest your life in other people to see them grow spiritually. And this is a beautiful thing. You see, the kingdom of God is not addition and subtraction, because sometimes this is how we think. We think that by pouring out means we are losing out. Oh, that's good. I never thought of that. By pouring out, we thought that we are losing out. But in the kingdom of God, it's not like that. The more you pour out, guess what? God is going to pour even more into your life. And that's why we call the overflowing cup of His love and His grace. Out of the overflowing grace and the love of God that you experience daily, you then pour out to others. The more you pour, the Lord gives you even more so that you may pour out more. And that, my dear friends, is the beauty of the new life that God has given every single one of you. Do you want to live that way? Yes? New life in Christ? Pour out to others. Don't hold back. Because God never shortchanges people. Hallelujah. Come, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to thank you so much for your precious word. We're going to hold firmly, we're going to hold fast on your word. I pray for my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, oh God, especially those that are on valley lows. Pray, Lord, that your presence will strengthen them, that the word of God will bring life to them, oh Lord. And they may stand strong and they may shine brightly than ever before. Pray for this house, oh God. They will see mature men and women of God rising up, willing to pour out to others, willing to sacrifice for the glory of Jesus and for the spiritual growth of others. And when we do so, Lord God, we then will shine as lights in this world. Glory to you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.